whether it's a newborn or someone who's born again anew. All right, so our message this morning is entitled, I Choose to Slow Down. Everybody say, I choose to slow down. Oh, man. You know, what is it about walking into Lowe's and seeing all the Christmas stuff and going, oh, no. What is it about that? We're going to talk about busyness. We're going to talk about priorities. And let me just start by saying that you guys would agree that we are the sum total of the decisions that we make. You get a little bit older and you look back at life and you think about decisions that you made. And sometimes you think, man, if I could do that one over again. And hindsight is 20/10, right? It's easy to look back at the things that you did and think, man, I wish I would have done something differently. We're the sum total of the decisions that we've made in the past, today. But also, tomorrow, the decisions that we make today will impact what happens and how we live our lives tomorrow, right? Like when I was in youth ministry, I used to tell young people all the time, you've got to think about your future. You've got to think of, you can't just think about today, but you got to think about how is this decision going to impact my future? And you know, like all of us, because we were all once young, right? Some of you are like, okay. And so there are things that, you know, we didn't think about either. We didn't think about. And so I choose to slow down. Now, how many of you guys love the time change? You love that? Yeah. How many of you guys stayed up even later because you went, oh, I could stay up another hour tonight or two because no one else did that but me. I was like, oh, it's only 10:15 instead of 11:15, right? No one else did that. Well, you guys are good. All right. How many of you guys would say, boy, I wish I had more time. Anybody at all? Yeah, I just wish I had more time. Wow. Man, if I had more time, I'd have more time to read. I'd have more time to pray. I'd have more time for, you know, like basketball. If I had more time, I'd have more time to surf. Thought about that one. That'd be fun to do. I don't surf, but that'd be fun to do. I'd have time to take my spouse out on a date. I'd have more time to hang out with friends, right? Anybody would feel like, man, now if you had an extra 2 hours a day, if you had an extra 2 hours, like you had 26 hours in a day, what would you do with it? No, you wouldn't. You'd find something to jam those 2 hours up, right? I got an extra time. I can do this. Okay, so, and you might be thinking, I wish I could do these things, but I can't. I can't. Why? Because, man, I'm so, what's the word? Busy. I got a yard to mow. I got dishes to do. I got kids to run all over town. Hello, right? You okay? My wife and I are like, look, we can't be three places at one time. There's only two of us, right? I've got crabgrass to pull out. Oh, I've got so much going on. Oh, and Instagram, hello, right? Well, you ever catch yourself just doing nothing and then feeling guilty about it? Like you're sitting and you're like, boy, this is nice, but I should be doing something. I know I've got so much to do. So we have this as Americans, we have this as this response when people sometimes ask us, well, how are you doing? And we say, oh, I'm busy. I'm busy. I got so much going on. In his book, Hamlet's Blackberry, William Powers tells the story of a friend of his who came from a non-English speaking background, immigrant to America. And when he asked her how she was doing, she would say, I'm busy, busy, very busy. And every time he asked her that, she would say the same thing. And so he kind of got a little curious because she didn't seem like she was super, super busy and frazzled, but she would always say that. And eventually he found out why she would say that. because she was copying what Americans said to each other when they were asked how they were doing. And she thought that that was the courteous way that you respond to that question. How you doing? I'm busy, busy, very busy. Because she just heard it so much, right? People tell me all the time, oh man, you know, sorry to bother you. Boy, you must be so busy. I know you've got so much going on. Have you ever asked someone that question, you know, and had them answer this way and just with this answer, you said, you know, how you doing? And they go, man, you know what? Man, I'm just chilling. Man, I'm chilling like a villain. I mean, I'm just like, well, what are you up to, man? What are you up to? You know what, man? Nothing. I got nothing going on, man. Really? No, man, but what's happening in your life? Nah, you know what, man? I'm just kicking it with my old lady, man. That's all I'm doing. Just, you're like, wow, man, how can you do that? Because I think as Westerners, I think we value busyness. See, I think when you ask that question, how you doing? And someone goes, oh, I'm busy. I think we go, yeah, that's it. Yeah, because there's this sense of worthiness because we're busy. And we go, that's it. That's it. You got to be busy, man. Go stay busy now. Just keep rolling. Keep doing stuff. You know what? Let me just tell you this. I don't value busyness. I think busyness is a Western cultural value. I don't value that. I don't. Not at all. In fact, I'm trying not to be busy. I am. Now, I want to work real hard. That's just who I am. I've always been a hard worker. It's kind of a core value for me. I want to work really, really hard, but guess what? I don't want to be busy. And there's the challenge in my life. How can I work really, really hard and not be busy? And by the way, how did we in the Western culture miss the siesta? How did we not get that? I don't know. We were in Spain visiting a church in Barcelona. It was a church made up of Middle Easterners. And it was supposed to start at 10 o'clock. And, you know, we were flying, you know, Westerners, Americans. We're flying to get there at 10 o'clock. And there's like hardly anybody there. And we said, hey, you know, it's 10:15, 10:20, 10:30. And we're like, we're so sorry. We thought it started at 10 o'clock. And they said it does. And then we're really confused. And they go, yeah, we start at 10 o'clock, but we don't really start till everybody gets here. I went, oh. And they looked at us like, you Americans, you guys are just so like this, aren't you? I'm like, yeah, we are. Okay. Someone said this. If Satan can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. He'll make you busy about things that don't really matter. If he can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And busy about things that don't really matter. Just recently, we watched a movie, and I'll spare you the name of the movie, but I had seen the first, it was like, you know how they do these series, one, two, it's like three or four, and the first one was awesome. I mean, I thought it was great. I didn't bother to watch the second one, so I watched the third one, and I picked it up like an hour and a half. I watched about an hour and a half of it, and it was just dumb. You ever watch that? You ever watch a series? You go, oh, this is going to be awesome, with the exception of the first three Jason Bourne movies. Okay, that's a whole different thing, but it was like the third in the series, and I watched it. I spent an hour and a half watching it, and I just felt, man, how dumb was that? And I thought, how dumb was it that I just wasted an hour and a half of my life sitting watching a movie that's absolutely meaningless? And the special effects were, like, ridiculous. Man, at some point, you just can't do that to that many people, right? You can't, like, kill a whole town or whatever it was. You know, I don't know, right? I know some of you are questioning my movie choices now. You want to know what it is. Don't worry about it. Wow. Jesus, speaking of the condition of our hearts, talked about the seed of the Word of God and how, as the farmer goes and he throws seed, it lands on different soils. And the soil is the condition of the heart. And he said, sometimes when the farmer throws the seed, it falls on the pavement. It's got no shot. The birds of the air come and they snatch it and grab it away. It has no opportunity to take root. And then he says, speaking of the conditions of the soil, he talks about this particular soil. The seed falls among thorns. And he says in Mark chapter 4, verse 18, the seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things. So no fruit is produced. It's that the worries, the desire, it's crowded out by life, and therefore it produces nothing. Nothing. All right, everybody say this. Say important versus urgent. Important, say that again, versus urgent. So there's this business guru named Seth Godin, and he said this. He says, if you choose what is important, you won't deal with as many things that are urgent. But he said the opposite is never true. Let me say that again. If you choose what is important, you won't deal with as many things that are urgent. But he said the opposite is never true. If you're only choosing that which is urgent, then you're not going to be faced with more things that are important. So therefore, choose the important over the urgent. Let me give an example. When your oil is leaking, when your car is leaking oil, that's urgent, right? You got to get that fixed. However, what's important is to continue to do the maintenance on your car so it doesn't leak oil, right? I mean, if you're at a parking lot and your battery is dead, that is urgent. You got to get to that. But what's important is maybe when you first started to notice that your battery was winding down, you could have maybe replaced it then. Is that anybody, or does that just happen to me? Like, I try to go as far as I can with stuff. See, when you have some sort of physical issue, that may become urgent. But what's important is dealing with stress. Maybe looking at your diet. Maybe trying to find a way to get some movement or some physical activity so that you don't get to that place where you have to end up at the doctor's office because of you've neglected these things. Important versus urgent. And in Luke chapter 10, Jesus gives us a real life example of the two. And if you're familiar with the story, it's the story of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And Mary is one who is sitting at the feet of Jesus and receiving all that he has, while Martha is busy about all the preparations that need to take place when Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Messiah, is coming over to your house for dinner. Can I ask you a question? If Jesus were coming over to your house for dinner, would you be a little stressed about that? You might be a little bit stressed about that, right? I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, like, you know what? You might need to change your Pandora Snoop Dogg folder to, like, Hillsong Worship. Right? No? Right? I mean, you have to fix the right meal. And what would that be? You got me on that one, right? How about your kids? Jesus the Messiah is coming over for dinner. You better clean your room, right? Or would there be certain areas in your house where you do, like, well, never mind, where you just close the door and hope that he doesn't go in there? Oh, no, don't go in there. Just close the door. And would you, like, throw certain things under the bed? Like, oh, no one will see it down there. Maybe? No. I think men and women look at this thing differently when it comes to someone coming over. I know I do. Hey, yeah, well, come on over. What's today? It's Friday? How about Saturday night? Come on by. Yeah, we're not doing nothing. You know what? Let me check with my wife and make sure everything's cool. Hey, I invited so-and-so over for dinner. Are you crazy? I think men and women look at that a little bit different. I don't know. When it comes to inviting folks over, I'm like, yeah, sure, come on. Yeah. And then my house is on lockdown for the next 5 days, right? Ooh, nobody allowed in or out for 5 days. I don't know. Luke chapter 11, many of you are familiar with this story, but it has to do with slowing down. It says, as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits there while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. You ever tell on somebody like that to God? Jesus, this is not fair. I'm over here grinding it out in the kitchen. And my sister, my kids do that all the time, right? I love it. I love it. We encourage our kids to tell on one another. We haven't got to the place of bribery yet, but we like, oh yeah, what else? And then what? Okay, great. Tell me more. Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, can we read this part together? Okay. What does it say? You are worried and upset over all these details. Okay, stop. Here's Jesus' response to Martha. You're worried and upset over all these details. Okay? We can understand in the context of Eastern hospitality that this is a big deal. Okay, getting the meal right, getting things together. This is Jesus in your living room. It's a big deal. So I don't think he's saying, don't worry about the dishes. Don't worry about getting the meal right. It's okay that your house is an absolute mess. I don't think that's what he's saying. Okay, so you got to get that. Because he says, there is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. Okay, so let's unpack that just a little bit. All right, Martha was perispao. Isn't that a great word? Perispao. That's the Greek word. I believe we get our word perspire from that, though I'm not sure. Perispao. And it means to draw away, to be driven about mentally, to be distracted, to be overoccupied, too busy about a thing. And so she had taken this thing to a whole nother level. It wasn't that it wasn't important, but Jesus is sitting in her living room and she's more concerned about this. That's the thing. It's not that it's not important, but she's more concerned about this. And she's frustrated to the point that she's mad at her sister for not helping. Because she's doing nothing. Okay? All right. And she's doing something because Jesus says that there's only one thing worth being concerned about. And Mary's got it. She's discovered it. And he goes, that's not going to be taken from her. I'm not going to say to her, don't sit at my feet and listen to my words. Go help your sister. Like, yeah, Mary, what's wrong with you? How could you just sit here and do nothing and let your sister do? No. It wasn't that it wasn't important. But here's the thing. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. oh, if I could live my life like that. If I could live my life and say, okay, not just shrug responsibility or not care about stuff or just be schlocky in things or do a half. Well, you know, hey, only one thing is worth being concerned about, and this ain't it. No. But to only be concerned about him. And he says, I'm not taking that from her. So I wrote this down as a form of a question for all of us. What's the most important thing you've been distracted from pursuing? What's the most important thing that you've been distracted from pursuing? As followers of Jesus, for us, you know, we that's time with God. That's time with him. Just like Mary discovered sitting at the feet of Jesus was the most important thing to be concerned about. For us as followers of Christ, that should be, in my life, the most important thing that I'm concerned about. But sometimes we get so distracted and we get concerned about this and we get concerned about that. And we get concerned about this, and then we begin to get angry at other people because they don't see the same, they don't see it the same way that we do. And the Lord is saying, yeah, but listen, that's not the thing that you should be all fired up about. That's not the thing that you should be, you know, even angry at somebody about. That's what he's saying. Maybe that's your marriage. What's the most important thing that you've been distracted from pursuing? Maybe that's your spouse. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe you just feel like, man, I got so much going on, I haven't been able to deposit into my children the way that I feel like I need to. Young parents, that little girl is going to grow up fast. Because right now they're clingy. But the time's going to come when they're going to look at you and go, no! You might, what? You barely, and they crawl, then they walk, then they run. Then they take you off of Find My Friend, and you don't know where they are. time with your kids, maybe. Maybe it's time to read. Maybe it's time to journal. Maybe it's time to serve. Maybe it's time to attend a light group. What's the most important thing that you've been distracted from pursuing? Jesus said that there's only one thing worth being concerned about. Could you imagine? Wouldn't it be great if someone said that about you? That guy, let me tell you what he cares about. He cares about God. That guy, he's all about God. That's all he cares about. He don't get all weirded out and like the rest of us, because you know what? He's just always about God. And I mean, he works hard and he does his job, but he's all about the Lord. Wow. Well, I'm learning and I'm trying to get better at my time management. I know I'm like 57 years old. Y'all like, what is your problem, man? Come on with it. I know. And you know what I realize? This is earth shattering. I can't do everything and I can't be everywhere. Thank you. Thank you very much. All of a sudden I got very warm in here. I'm going to turn this down if you'll pardon the interruption. I can't be everywhere, and I can't do everything. I was having a conversation with Pastor Kevin Oder, Canyon Ridge Church. He's a cool guy. Love that man. Makes time for me when I just roll into his office. I can't believe he does that. I don't do it often, but. And there was a big evangelistic crusade at the Thomas and Mack, and he has a big old heart for evangelism. And I said, hey, man, are you going to that evangelistic thing on Friday night? He went, nope. I'm like, huh? Like, what's wrong with you, man? And I was just like, I was surprised. And I said, well, that was an emphatic no. I go, why not? And I was just curious. I was just curious. Like, why wouldn't you go? And he said this. He goes, well, you know what? I got my small group on whatever night that is. And then he goes, and then I've got a meeting, like a leadership meeting on this particular night. And so I'm not going to add one more thing to it because that would be too much. I don't have the energy for that. And I went, taking notes, energy. Because, see, I used to think that time was my most valuable asset, and I realized it's not. You know what my most valuable asset is now? Energy. Because if I don't have the energy for it, it doesn't matter if I have the time. And if I'm neglecting those who are closest to me, it really becomes an issue. And so here's the principle that I learned from him. By learning how to say yes to what's most important, I automatically say no to other things. Can you say amen to that? By learning how to say yes to what's most important, I automatically say no to what's not important or what's not a priority or to other things. It's hard for me to say no. I'll admit that. And I get stretched out. And if I have this much energy, I'm over here all the time. Because I'm just like, I can be gone every night of the week. And yet, I have to say things like, can't do that. I don't want to go to, can't go there. Margin. Having the energy to do what you've been called to do. And see, I think that if we focus on like what Jesus said, then the other things, we get the answers to that. And it's like, no. And so what that tells me is I have to say no to some things. I have to say no. Hey, we gonna go on, let's go to, no, not going to do that. What? Why not? Because, man, I can't. You know, if the enemy can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. Here's another thing that I've learned in my journey is to do the most important thing first. Do the most important thing first. Psalm chapter 5, verse 3 says, listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my request to you and wait expectantly. Now, I understand for you, morning might be midnight. Or because we live in a 24-hour town, what's a.m. to me could be different for what's a.m. to you. But the psalmist David says that, Lord, hear my voice. When? In the morning, because you get the sense that David did the most important thing first. Find out, seek out what's most important and do that first. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And in the context of people who were anxious and worried and had all kinds of stress over things in their life, he said, all of those things will be added to you when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said, make that your priority. Do that first, because that's most important. Martha was concerned about all of these issues and all of these things. And Jesus said, you're worried and you're encumbered about all these things. But only one thing matters. Mary has discovered it and it won't be taken from her. Oh, church, may I discover that one thing. May we get that. May I get it and do it first, because it's the most important thing. Singer Danny Gans, who went to go be with the Lord, his show on Las Vegas Boulevard was almost annually the top show in town. A comedian, an impersonator, a man of God. His entire cast were all followers of Jesus. His musicians, Pete Brisciani, worked with him for many, many years. He died unexpectedly, but he would share a little bit of his story every time he did his show. And in his show, he shared the story about how at one time he was he was traveling a lot, you know, because he hadn't quite gotten to the fame and the notoriety and the theater named after him yet. And so he was traveling a lot, and his young daughter drew a picture of their family. And, you know, and here's the house, and there's mom, and I think she had a little brother or something like that. And the dog, and she gives it to him and says, here, Daddy, I drew a picture of our family. And he goes, oh, that's so nice, honey. It looks wonderful. Hey, listen, where's Daddy? And she goes, oh, Daddy, you're up in the plane flying away. Yeah. And so he said he and his wife just began to pray and say, okay, we can't keep doing this. And that's when the door sort of began to open up where he had his first full-time show here in Las Vegas. And I wrote down this, prioritize family first. Prioritize family first. I'd like my priorities to be God first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added. That's the formula. To get to everything else, we have to seek God first. To get those things that we strive after and we hunger and thirst after, and those things that we're running after, to get that, to have that peace in my heart, I've got to seek God first. That should be my number one priority. It's not always. I mean, my mind it is, but my day planner tells me otherwise sometimes, right? So my priority first is God. My second priority is my wife. That's the most important relationship I have with another human being on this planet. I need to prioritize it. And I don't always do that. I don't. You know, I talk about things like wanting to have a date night every week. Doesn't always happen. Sometimes it's like we have to catch up. So, well, you didn't tell me that. Well, we haven't talked. Well, where you been? And we kind of joke about it, but it's not real funny, you know. But that's the most important relationship. And you know, one of the best ways that I can teach my boys and my daughter what a healthy, godly relationship with their future spouse looks like is how I treat my wife, right? That's where they see it. And so I have to prioritize my time with her. Next is God and my kids. That's got to be a priority. It has to be, right? And the older they get, the harder that gets. Because they'd be like, oh, Dad, I ain't going to be home. Where are you going to be? You know, trying to catch up, right? The ministry comes after that. Prioritize family first. Prioritize family first. Mark chapter 4, verse 20, Jesus talking about this seed that falls on different soil. Some falls on the pavement. Some falls on the rocks and it springs up quickly, but it has no root, so it dies out. Some falls among the thorns and it begins to take root, but then it gets choked out. Then he talked about another condition of the heart. And he said this, and the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produced a harvest of 30, 60, even 100 times as much as has been planted. So good soil reproduces itself because it's in Christ. Matthew 22, 37 through 40, Jesus said this, that you must love the Lord your God with all your what? Heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is everything within you. He goes, that's the first and the greatest commandment. Then he said, the second is like unto it, love others as you love yourself. And he said, the entirety of the law and the prophets is based on that. So we're back to prioritizing God in our lives, making him number one, making him our focus, like Mary, who found out that which was the greater thing, which was the good thing, and it would not be taken from her. Oh, that we could find that out. So an archaeologist once hired some Inca tribesmen to lead him into this archaeological site that was deep in the mountains. And after they had been moving for some time, the tribesmen stopped and insisted they would go no further. So the archaeologist kind of grew impatient and angry. He was probably an American. But no matter how much he tried, the tribesmen would not go any further. Then all of a sudden, like out of nowhere, they changed their attitude. They picked up their gear and they set off once more. Later on, this bewildered archaeologist talked to his translator and asked, why is it that they refused to go any further for so long? And this is what their answer was. We had been moving too fast. We had to wait for our souls to catch up. Are you moving too fast? Have you prioritized things in your life that maybe shouldn't be the number one priority? I understand there's busy seasons. It's been a busy season for us. It has been. There's constant things going on. But in that, I've got to find that place of peace and rest. I've got to find that place of seeking first the kingdom of God. I've got to do that every day. I have found that if I don't do that, it kind of sets my day like this. Now, it doesn't mean that I can't get back to it. But if I prioritize God, if I get with him and make my my time with him the first thing that I do, I find that there's an alignment that takes place. Because I need God's grace. I need his mercy. I need his wisdom. I need his understanding. In my heart, I need to know that I've made him first in my life. And usually that comes with me spending my time with him first, right? I need to have my soul catch up. I like that. So let me give you a few practical things to do, okay? All right, would you make a list of what's important to you? I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, I really, really want God to be first in my life, but he's not. Okay, that's all right. Make a list of what really, really matters to you, and then prioritize that list. Make a list of what really, really matters to you, and then prioritize that list. And then challenge yourself to change so that you follow your priorities. Challenge yourself to change so that you prioritize those things. And I think for most of us, we need to slow down. I think I do. Holidays are coming up. It's a busy season. Why don't we say, I'm not going to make this holiday about the holidays. I'm not going to make it a busy season. I'm going to prioritize God. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to get my orders and my direction from him. I'm going to find that good part, that first part, that part that that Mary found. And all the rest, I'm going to leave behind. Can we do that? Can we do that? Some of you are like, I don't know. It's all right. I get it. Grace. So as we close this morning, I want to just say this to you, that number one, it all starts with relationship with him. That's where it all begins. I mean, this is the crux of everything. It's where it all starts. I'm going to close in prayer, and I'm going to ask you this question. Is that, have you made or have you asked God to be the priority in your life? Because when you do that, when you say, God, you know, like as it's been said, there's this throne in your heart, and only one can sit on it. Either you'll sit on it and you'll be the king of your own heart, soul, mind, or Jesus will sit on it. That's a choice. And I just wonder if anybody this morning would choose to say, you know what, Jesus, I'm giving you the throne of my heart. I want you to live and be my Lord, that have first place in my life. I want to seek first you and your kingdom. Help me to do that.